Today, as we find ourselves a little more than halfway through Lent, we are confronted with a difficult narrative. It is difficult in the assumptions of its interpretations, and it is difficult because it exposes our hearts. A person is blind from birth. This passage sits in the middle of two important word pictures. Just previous to this, Jesus gives one of the great I am statements that we hear in John, which he repeats here. There are seven I am statements in the Gospel of John that Jesus speaks. The one he speaks previous to this passage is, I am the light of the world. And in the following chapter, Jesus gives another, In the following chapter, Jesus gives another of the great I am statements. I am the good shepherd, light and shepherd. These tell us about God being a God of leading, providing, exposing, and guiding. The punchline of this narrative is also often misunderstood. Jesus states that he has come for judgment. That can feel like a really loaded, harsh, negative word. Within miracle and proclamations are a narrative of one person beginning to see the truth and others becoming blind to the truth. A miracle that is also a sign. A sign is something that stands for more than it appears. Sight, the ability to see and the physical healing of sight, stand for being able to comprehend and have the capacity to see truth. A part of what is interesting about this passage is that Jesus heals in the first part and then at verse 7 drops off and out of the action until late in the passage. In between, and we heard it and heard it, is all the interaction of the people talking about what has happened. And then Jesus comes back at verse 35 with the punchline, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see and those who do see may become blind. The interpretation of this passage has all kinds of generalizations about sin, punishment, and consequence. His disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? We cannot spill the details of this narrative to explain how God interacts with all of humanity throughout all time, though some do. George Stroop, in his essay on this passage, articulately claims this to be an attempt to quantify evil or sin, assign blame or responsibility for suffering. He further states that when we do these things, we are really measuring sin and concluding one person is more sinful than another. We tend to do that as humans. We measure things, our worth, our things, houses, cars, jobs, and we measure evil and sin in the world. The etymology of the word sin helps us. In simplicity, sin is about the momentum of our lives. All of us, all the time, are either on a path, a journey moving toward God or away from God. At its root, the meaning of the word sin is to miss the mark. This is illuminated through its use as an archery term. Any miss of the bullseye, the mark, was called sin. It is measurable only in the missing of the mark, not in how far from the bullseye. We cannot measure one another's sin or assign blame for suffering. We all miss the mark. We all have sin. The other thing that throws a bit of a wrench in this narrative is the way Jesus answers the disciples. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Stroop wisely asserts that this passage does not say that all events reveal God's works. Only in this specific individual, in this moment, is a revealing of God's works. This is tethering. We cannot use this passage to explain suffering in the world. The Heidelberg Catechism from the 16th century is helpful to us as it responds to the first line of the Apostles' Creed. It says, whatever evil God sends upon me in this troubled life, God will turn to my good, for God is able to do it, being Almighty God, and is determined to do it, being a faithful parent. Here and for all time, God's works are not to be assumed to be a specific act, but a display showing a revelation of God to one and all. What we can do as we read this passage is not look at humanity to generalize to all about their experiences, but to look at God and see what God is like. This narrative comes after Jesus has proclaimed he is the light of the world. Jesus repeats it here, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." We are again reminded of the contrast of the mountaintop reality and down below daily living reality that we first talked about with the Transfiguration. Light and dark coexist. In this passage, the ability to see light and darkness and judgment all weave together. To understand this weaving, we need to think about this word judgment. The root of this Greek word for judgment has to do not with this idea of making a decision, not just with this idea of making a decision or pronouncing some type of opinion. It also has to do with approving or esteeming. This is not the word picture of someone shaking their finger and raising their voice, saying how bad you are. To really understand judgment, we need to put it in the context of revelation and relationship. The concepts of light and darkness serve us in understanding this approach to judgment. As God reveals God's self to us, there is exposure of what is there, and there is call for response, that we may have peace, that relational peace with God, self, and others. And that is what judgment is. It is a revelation of what is with no hiding places, only light and call for response. In this passage, we see this person blind from birth, slowly journeying toward an understanding as he begins to see with his eyes and the eyes of his heart who Jesus is. He comes to a place of belief and worship. And we see that contrasted with the parents, the crowd, the leaders, seeking to condemn because Jesus is behaving in ways that are outside the box. Seeking to condemn because they do not understand. Seeking to condemn because they are afraid. Responses to light, pride, misunderstanding, fear, things we can all relate to. And we hear that at the end of the passage as the Pharisees respond to Jesus. We hear the pride, don't we? Surely we are not blind, are we? And Jesus responds and says, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Judgment here is Jesus showing God's presence, love, and power in providing for someone's need. It's not harsh. It's not angry. This gives sight to the blind person healed and blindness to those in proximity. Both respond to Jesus. One begins to see. Others become blind to truth. Judgment, revelation, invitation, response on God's terms, not ours. Sounds a little like Lenten themes, doesn't it? Intentional time to think of who God is and who we are and what to do about it. May we journey like the person healed of physical blindness and be found by God and respond with more and more belief and worship. Amen.